Welcome to the Sandstorm Podcast, folks. I mean, listeners. This is Eric Cochran, your guide through the shifting sands of politics and world events. Let's imagine for a moment we're not in 2024, but in the 1980s, the era of shoulder pads, neon, and the cold, hard-turned tensions of the Cold War. Now, fast forward back to today, and guess what? It seems the more things change, the more they stay the same. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, let's set the scene. Picture the UK, a country with a history of empire and a modern identity that has often been about balancing legacy with the reality of today's global politics. And at the center of this balancing act, we've got Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, a man with an eye on the past, but his hands firmly on the levers of the future. So why should you, sitting comfortably across the pond or wherever you may be, care about Britain's latest defense spend? Well, the UK isn't just any old country, it's a bit like that one dependable friend we all have. You know, the one who might not be the center of attention at a party, but if trouble starts, they're right there with you, ready to back you up. That's the UK when it comes to its commitment to freedom, democracy, and the defense of Western ideology. All right, so Rishi Sunak has promised a hefty boost to the UK's defense budget, ramping it up to 2.5% of GDP by 2030. That's not just pocket change. We're talking a solid commitment during times that feel, quite frankly, a bit like the opening credits of a spy thriller. Sunak isn't alone in his stand either. It's like a rare celestial event. Both the Tories and Labour are eyeing the same star, both committed to the 2.5% target, though Labour adds a little footnote when economic conditions allow. But let's be real, in politics, it's refreshing to see two rivals agree on anything, especially something as crucial as national defense. Now, this isn't just about preparing for a rainy day. This is about realizing that those clouds on the horizon are getting darker and might just be ready to burst. It's about understanding that while we've got our nuclear umbrellas at the ready, the real squall could be the proxy storms. Think less Thunderball and more Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. The West is waking up to the fact that we can't just depend on the old stars and stripes to carry the torch alone. We need all hands on deck. And while I'm not one to dish out kudos willy-nilly, credit where credit's due, the 45th president was onto something when he rattled the NATO cage about upping defense spending. Now, was he playing to the crowd? Maybe. But even a stopped clock is right twice a day, and it's good to see Europe, albeit belatedly, deciding to pick up the tab more often. But let's not sugarcoat it. Increasing defense spending isn't about getting shiny new toys. It's a response to the axis of authoritarian states, Sunak mentioned. These are nations that might not share our fondness for liberty and queuing. We've seen this assertiveness grow, and it's not just saber rattling. It's about shaping the world stage to a tune that could turn from Coldplay to Wagner real quick. The UK's decision, it's a bit like deciding to hit the gym because, you know, beach season is coming and you want to look good. But in this case, beach season could mean facing down some pretty serious international bullies, and the UK wants to ensure it's not just fit, but ready to stand shoulder to shoulder with its mates. Nah. So what does this mean in the broader scheme of things? It means the UK is stepping up, not to reclaim some old glory, but to affirm that it's still a key player in defending the values we hold dear in the West. The UK's move isn't a blast from the past, it's a clarion call for the future. And as we dive deeper into this story, we'll see it's not just about flexing military muscle, it's about political chess, economic workouts, and the always entertaining, occasionally bewildering world of international relations. Now let's delve into the brass tacks of what this defense spending really entails, because let's face it, it's not just about fattening up the piggy bank for a rainy day. It's about what we're buying with that coin. Think of it like this. It's the difference between splurging on a sports car that looks pretty in the driveway and investing in a reliable SUV that'll carry you through the thick and thin of winter storms. The UK is thinking long term. They're not just tossing pounds into the wind. This is about stockpiling ammunition, preparing for scenarios where diplomacy takes a back seat and firepower does the talking. You've got to wonder, as we do, just how quickly those shelves could empty in a real pinch. The war in Ukraine has been like a wake-up call, a splash of cold water to the face of NATO countries, signaling that it's time to get their houses in order. But here's the twist. This boost in spending isn't about increasing troop numbers or bringing back the redcoats. Instead, it's about ensuring the UK's defense infrastructure is robust enough to withstand the tempest that may come. And let's be clear, this isn't pocket lint we're talking about. These programs are eye-wateringly expensive. We're seeing a shopping list that includes everything from frigates to fighter jets to a splash of modernizing Britain's nuclear deterrence. Now, here's where it gets as sticky as a toffee pudding. How to pay for all this? Well, Downing Street's juggling the books, looking to squeeze pennies from elsewhere, including trimming the civil service. But let's just say not everyone's convinced there's enough loose change under the couch cushions to cover the bill. As for the politics of it all, it's like watching a game of poker with high stakes on the table. With an election looming like a Shakespearean ghost, this isn't just about national security. It's about political survival. The Conservatives have laid their cards on the table with a specific date, but the question on everyone's lips is, will they still be around to see it through? Now, stepping back from the numbers and the politics, what we're really seeing here is a reflection of our times. The world stage is shifting, and countries like the UK are picking up the pace. They're not willing to sit on the sidelines, knitting Union Jack sweaters. They're suiting up, ready to play their part in ensuring the values we in the West hold dear, those of freedom, democracy, and dare I say, a good cup of tea, remain more than just words in history books. It's a dance of diplomacy, finance, and old-fashioned power plays. And as we watch this unfold, it's a reminder that the UK, while it may not command the empire it once did, still has skin in the game, still has a say in the kind of world we want to live in. And with that, let's not forget our old friend Uncle Sam. The US has shouldered a hefty load in defending these values, and perhaps it's time for allies to share more of that burden. It's not about stepping back, it's about stepping together, a synchronized march toward a future where freedom isn't just an American tune, but a global symphony. But as we catch our breath, we've got to ask, what does this mean for the everyday person? For you and me? Well, it's about knowing that while we're enjoying our morning coffee or complaining about the traffic, there are moves being made on the global chessboard that could change the game entirely. And the UK, they're making sure they're not just a pawn. What's the thread that's pulling this narrative together? It's about more than just numbers and budgets. It's about a statement, a declaration of intent, and perhaps a rekindling of an old flame for global influence. This isn't just about Britain's response to the chest thumping of authoritarian regimes. It's about a deeper realization that our world is knit together more closely than ever. The actions of one nation reverberate across the globe, like ripples across a pond, and the UK is throwing its stone in with intent. Let's inject a bit of historical context here. The UK's commitment reminds us of the resolve shown during its finest hour in World War II, not in the sense of an impending conflict, but in the spirit of readiness and resilience. It's about the enduring British ethos of keep calm and carry on, now translated into keep calm and stockpile ammunition. But let's also remember that defense isn't just about what you can do on the battlefield. It's also a psychological armor. It's about deterrence, about sending a message to potential adversaries that you're not just ready to defend your values, but that you're also committed to supporting those who share them. As the UK's extra pound 500 mower for Ukraine this year clearly signals, bringing in our own reflection, we've seen the strain that continuous engagement has placed on the United States, the weariness that sometimes creeps into the national dialogue. The UK stepping up is akin to a reliever stepping onto the pitcher's mound, offering a much-needed respite and a chance to strategize together for the innings ahead. It's also a reminder that nations cannot stand in isolation. Like cogs in a clock, the movements of one affect the timing of all. The UK's decision is not only about national defense, but about the synchronization of democracies, about finding that collective rhythm that will keep the hands of that clock moving forward, not backward. So, where do we land in all of this? Well, perhaps it's a call to look beyond the horizon, to recognize that while the world stage has its villains and heroes, it's often the understated character who delivers the most impactful lines. And Britain's recent move is one such line, a reminder that they too hold the pen in this narrative. And as we approach the end of our journey today, let's not forget that every resolution is but the prelude to a new story. The UK's renewed commitment to defense is more than just a chapter closing. It's the prologue to a future that we'll write together. It's a testament to the enduring human spirit, the desire to stand for something greater than oneself, and the recognition that in the grand story of our world, every voice matters. So as we sign off, I leave you with a thought. In a world often divided by the harrowing winds of discord, perhaps it's the quiet resolve, the unheralded determination to do what's right, that truly keeps the sands from swallowing the foundations of what we've built. The UK's pledge to increase defense spending is more than just a commitment to security. It's a commitment to the future, a future where freedom and democracy are not just cherished but actively defended. Thank you for joining me on this journey through the shifting dunes of our times. Remember to keep the conversation going, to stay informed, and most importantly, to engage with the world around you with both your mind and your heart. And with that, I bid you farewell. Until the next time we meet amidst the swirling sandstorm, don't forget you can always catch more at sandstormdaily.com or follow the conversations on our Facebook page at Sandstorm Daily. For those who tread the murky waters on X, I'm there too at Real Eric Cochran. Keep the discourse alive and the insights sharp, and I'll catch you on the next gust of the Sandstorm podcast. Goodbye for now.